If you're not willing to do that, don't even try. Don't do it. Stay in your 9-to-5 and don't complain. I didn't understand life. I really needed a role model and I still don't have one. Don't you feel like you just know when someone's shady? I really care about the planet. I really care about the environment. I don't get it because that is what will make or break your business. If you want to be a doctor, lawyer, whatever you study, you have to be in the top form.
Would you call yourself an entrepreneur?
You know, I hate that word.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to First Things Thirst. Very happy to welcome Saba Youssef to the podcast.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Can't complain.
Good.
I'm curious to know, when people ask what it is that you do for a living, what do you say to them? Because you have this...
That's a really good question. So it depends who's asking. Mm-hmm. If it's someone that I don't feel I'm going to have a great conversation with or an intellectual conversation with, I just say I work in science. And they normally don't ask anymore. They say, oh, boring. But if it's someone that I feel I'm connecting with or it's in a work capacity, then I explain. I invest in STEM. I invest in biotechnology. I invest in science. I invest in cool tech. And I aim to list the companies.
Mm-hmm. And by listing, you mean put them on?
Direct listing on the stock exchange.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very impressive.
Thank you.
How did you get into that? Because you grew up in London.
London, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So as I was telling you earlier, my father's business is construction. And I'm Pakistani. I don't have any brothers. So he was so confused because usually the business gets passed down to your son, but he didn't have a son. So I was the son that he never had. So he really wanted me to do that. And I promise I really tried. And I just hated it. Mm-hmm. I just didn't understand. I didn't get it. I wasn't motivated. And I loved science. So I did what he wanted. I studied economics. I went to Ernst & Young for 2 years to get some corporate experience. And then I left and I just started investing very small amounts into science. And I just grew it from there. And it's what I love. So thankfully, I did well in it.
So when you were studying and doing the economics and you were doing what you were supposed to do at school, I imagine you excelled, did the work that you needed to do.
Yes.
How did you find the time to go deep into learning more about sort of the science?
You know, it started when I was around 10 years old, back in the day when we went to the library and we didn't have the internet to learn stuff. So I would just be so engrossed in learning about science and learning about the history of science as well. That's also very important to me. Who discovered what, how, when, what, why? And I just, it's my passion. Just like some people's passion is sports, my passion was science.
No way.
Yeah, that's it. I was just a nerd.
Do you feel like going to university helped you in any way with the career that you have today?
No.
Because I would imagine if it's similar to what I did at university, I did economics and business management.
Yeah, it was same.
Heavy on the maths, heavy on the graphs and the equations.
Yep. I love math. I love statistics. I love advanced econometrics. But no, it didn't help me in my real life at all. It didn't even teach me that much discipline, by the way, because my uni was quite relaxed. You just had to turn up, you know, when you needed to. I think you needed about 60% attendance. Mm-hmm. And you obviously needed to turn up to your exam. And that's it. It's not like we were monitored. It was a very flexible system. And they trusted you to do the work. I actually had more discipline growing up in high school. That was monitored. I'm black belt in karate. So that gave me a lot of discipline. Turning up three times a week.
You're a black belt in karate? Yeah. No way.
Don't test it. I'll run. I'll scream like a girl and run.
Was that something you chose to do or was that something else? Your parents?
My parents, yeah. My parents were really strict on me. So they made me do a lot of extracurricular activities when I was young. And that is what taught me discipline.
Yeah.
Not university.
That's interesting because I think a lot of parents, and particularly even I sometimes think if I was to have a daughter, would I want to spoil them and give them everything that they could possibly want? Or would I treat them almost like they're my son in a way and actually challenge them, get them to do those extracurricular activities and actually get them to work for some pocket money?
So my parents are very strict, but they still kept in mind that I'm a girl. Mm-hmm. And I'm a woman. So I was almost bribed and it worked. You know, you said, would you spoil your daughter? I'm sure naturally you would want to. Mm-hmm. So I was bribed. So I didn't make my grades for A-level. I had to get 3 A's to go to LSE and I got 2 A's and a B. So I ended up going to CAS, which was equally as great. But my car got taken away.
No way.
Yeah. And I was just so
That's so harsh.
I didn't care about the uni. I cared about the car. Yeah, he was harsh, but it worked. Mm-hmm. Because then he said, if you want this car, when you graduate, you have to get a first. And that was my motivation to get a first, nothing else.
No way. So, okay, you got the first.
Yeah.
Then you went to work at Ernst.
I was young.
Yeah.
That was also part of my dad's deal.
Okay, so he said, did he recommend you should go work for this company?
No, he said, the deal is in our family that all the kids have to go to one of the top four institutions in their field. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be a doctor, lawyer, whatever you study, you have to be in the top four. Otherwise, you're not allowed into the family business after.
No way.
My dad is savage.
Yeah. So what did you learn during your time there? How long did you spend?
I learned a lot, actually. I was there for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I learned about sexual discrimination.
Oh, yeah.
And I learned about how to deal with clients. I learned about the corporate sector, how to deal with them, how to interact with them. It was nice to be on the other side in the service industry, mm-hmm. as opposed to being the client, which is what I had encountered before. So it taught me a lot. It taught me a lot of people skills as well. And actually, the sexual discrimination taught me the most amount of people skills because I had to face those people every day at work, even despite the comments and, you know, how they were making me feel.
Yeah.
It definitely toughened me up.
And was there a lot more men in the workspace compared to women?
I think so, yeah.
Or was it just because
I would say 70-30.
Yeah.
No, it was, they were like, this is all the women. Mm. I'm just remembering it. It feels like so long ago. No.
Bringing
like,
back all the traumatic memories.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Thank you. I just got rid of my PTSD. No, they were like this with all the women. Yeah. And it was really hard. And I remember it got so bad that I ended up going to work with my hair in a bun, no makeup, didn't even brush my hair, wearing baggy clothes because I just wanted to be invisible. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to focus on my work and I wanted to be known only for my work. I didn't even want to be seen because it felt so bad.
Yeah.
You know, it was hard.
Was there anyone that you could speak to in...
No.
No.
No. You know, obviously I told my mom, but she didn't understand. She's a lawyer, so she understands the corporate world, but she didn't have this when she was growing up and she got married very young, so it was different for her. I did tell my dad and he told me to get over it.
Because he's a savage. That's exactly what a savage would say.
I know, but he said, this is going to happen for the rest of your life. You're a woman. Find a way to get over it. And he was right, actually. Instead of letting it get to me, I just...
So how do you deal with guys' bullshit in the workspace? If they're making like smart-ass comments or flirty comments, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, so in my 20s, they did it a lot. And I just ignore. I just formed kind of selective hearing and I just stayed focused to my work. In my 30s now, it doesn't happen because people in my industry know who I am. Mm-hmm. So they know me, they don't mess around, they don't try, and it's a lot better now. Yeah.
And is that still... where you're working now, is it's predominantly in the UK?
I would say 50% in the UK, 50% international. It depends on the tech that I'm investing in. So there are amazing scientists in the UK, India, Japan, America, South America. It does depend, but yes, because I'm from London, I have an affinity with UK companies, right? I get approached more by UK companies as well.
So you do a lot of investing. How did that start off? Because I would imagine... in order to invest in the first place, you need to have a bit of money to play with.
Yeah.
So how did you start your journey of actually stacking up a bit of cash?
Yeah. So I took a loan from my dad of £50,000. And he said, you're going to lose it all. And I said, no, I won't. So I lost 40. I lost 40,000 because I got conned by a scientist. And then the last 10, I invested into a company that grew to be a really, really lovely tech that really helped change the world. It was a disruptive solar technology.
Solar?
Yeah. So, you know the solar panels?
Yeah.
They work on, I don't know, 20% efficiency. So when you use my coating on the solar panel, it's an invisible coating, it goes up by 20% the efficiency. So more sunlight absorbed, more money for everyone.
How did you come up with that?
I didn't. It was a scientist. So I invested in the scientist.
Oh.
Yeah, it was almost a napkin idea, to be honest. I risked it, but I love risk. Mm-hmm. I love risk at work.
Where do you think you got that from?
My dad.
He likes to take risks as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
He loves it.
So the first one you invested in where you lost 40K.
Yeah, I got totally scammed.
Tell me about that, because I think there's a lot of people, including myself,
yeah.
especially now because of who I am, I get a lot of people approaching me saying, well, they would imagine, okay, you've got a bit of money.
Yeah.
Do you want to come and invest in this?
Yeah.
How could you now stay away from the people who are just full of shit?
Yeah. So for me, I was investing in a scientist that hardly spoke any English, and he presented me with scientific documents. So whatever field you're in, you have to do due diligence, right? So my due diligence was getting these documents checked, and the documents checked out, the science made sense. How I got frauded was that he couldn't actually make it.
Oh.
So that's a whole other problem you have with science, biotech, and pharma that you, I hope, don't have. So with individuals like yourself, you just got to do proper due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. And definitely due diligence on the person, because you need to see their track record. Ask around always, because even though we're in Dubai, someone else is in London, the business community is very small.
Mm-hmm.
So you can always get feedback.
And there's a lot of, there's definitely a lot of shady people.
Yes.
Yeah.
I say 50-50 split.
Yeah. Because there's people who are genuinely wanting to just do good things and do good business and be nice.
Of course,
But there's other people who are just that, they're in it for the money and they have no hesitation. They will screw you over if they get the opportunity to.
So I was discussing this the other day. Don't you feel like you just know when someone's shady? Don't you just get a vibe?
I do now because I'm older. I'll soon be 33.
Okay.
You have that life experience and your gut instinct is just better.
Yes.
But when you're early, so say for example, if we go back 10 years ago and I'm 22, 23 years old, I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
Like I'm too naive and I assume that everybody's nice.
Me too. Yeah.
And in fact, I would actually say I was a lot nicer 10 years ago because it took people to screw me over and try and take advantage of me that I actually needed to harden up a little bit.
Yeah. I think I'm too paranoid now.
Mm.
Because of what I've learned about people, I just expect the worst. And I'm trying to find something when actually they're just lovely.
Yeah. So like you said, doing the due diligence.
Very important. Background checks, not only on the thing that you're investing in, whether it's an idea or a product or a service, on the individual.
Because
that is what will make or break your business. You know, and trust yourself. If you feel weird, it's probably weird.
Yeah.
If the man or the woman seems weird, they're probably weird.
And if it's too good to be true.
Yes.
Yeah.
It always is.
So what would you say is like the hot thing to kind of invest in science now?
Oh, in science. Well, I'm not going to tell you.
Come on. Spill the beans.
You know what? Because I actually care about it, but it's very in vogue, sustainability.
Okay.
So I really care about the planet. I really care about the environment, but I cared about it before it was sexy, I think. Now I'm happy that everyone is aware and companies have to allocate budgets for sustainability and reducing their carbon footprint, even if they don't care about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a really good business in science and tech and biotech at the moment, because companies are mandated. They have to. You have the Paris Agreement, you have the Tokyo Agreement. They have to spend on reducing their carbon footprint. So you have a very high chance of selling your product or your service.
What do you think of cars going electric?
Yeah, I think if they make some better looking electric cars, maybe I'll buy one, but not right now.
I know there's a lot of controversy with how...
Yeah, lithium mining.
Yeah, how that's mined.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is there even a solution to that?
You know, a lot of the times it takes way more energy to mine that lithium battery than it does to drive your diesel Range Rover around. But if we're trying to all collectively do the right thing, yes, then eventually there will be economies of scale and you can maybe mine lithium in a better way. But I think it's a nice idea. It's a good idea that we should all collectively be working towards.
Yeah.
But I'm in no rush to buy an electric car, to be honest. Because I know the stats on it. I know the science. Like in a Tesla, there's so much electromagnetic field in there. There's so much radiation. What's on your phone? My phone. There's so much going on in there and people just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And they just want to vilify the Range Rovers or the diesel cars or this. But, you know, come on, it's all the same.
Yeah.
You know, if you're an electric car, okay, you're not burning diesel, but you're frying your brain inside. What's worse?
Yeah, you were saying earlier you had some tips to share with me regarding health.
Oh,
wellness.
Yeah, tips, not criticism tips, because I was talking to you on Instagram yesterday, and your tips, I learned so much from you.
Which
by
one, the main page or the app?
No, the Insta page. I didn't see your app.
Oh, no, so, but I have an Instagram page for the app as well.
Oh, though. Okay, no. But no, just your
like,
main page.
That one's like way more educational. The main page is really? Me just frolicking
just
around.
Showing off your body. Yeah,
basically.
So I was
trying to change, guys.
I was looking at your body and I learned some tips, but I thought, you know, you talk about optimization for the gym. And I know maybe a lot of your viewers care about that.
Yeah.
And nutrition obviously is key. Your discipline in the gym obviously is very important. Your mental strength in the gym is important. But you know, there are some other aspects that I think really will affect your body and your results. Things like the water that you're drinking.
Mm.
So today, when we sat down, you handed me some water. And I didn't ask and I didn't check where the water was from because typically you don't think to, right? But we're so conscious about what food we're putting into our body or what air we're breathing. Is it dirty or oh, there's so much pollution, but what about the water? Water makes a very big impact on your health, your brain, your life, your success, your productivity the next day. Because a lot of the water we drink is acidic. And it's important that we try to keep our body in an alkaline state. But there's a lot of alkaline water brands out there, I'm sure you've seen in the stores online, but they're very, very expensive. And I feel that doesn't motivate people to switch to alkaline.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing in water, and I'm going to go deep here.
No, this is good because I was thinking the other day, yeah. I drink so much water from this one particular brand that I don't even think about.
Yeah.
And then I think,
what is it? Yeah.
Maybe this brand is absolutely trash. Yeah. And I have no idea.
It could be complete crap that you're drinking.
And it's,
and you wouldn't know.
And it's from a plastic bottle.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So is that,
Did you serve me water today from a plastic bottle?
Yeah.
I'm leaving now.
that's bad as well.
It's just bad for the environment, but no, it's about the water.
Okay.
Just think about the water. If you look into the science of water, it is proven to hold energy. So I know we're new friends, but as we hang out, you'll see me in social situations. If we're at a dinner table and people are speaking badly, negatively, I will not drink the water. Because water holds energy. And this is scientifically proven.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. I will not. Because that's bad water. Okay. I will stay dehydrated.
And so does the same go for food as well?
Well, it would be the water in food.
Okay.
So I've only studied the water molecules. Of course, there's water in food, but there's a lot more matter in there. So I would stick to just concentrating on pure water. Be conscious of what you're drinking because water is conscious. Water holds memory. It holds words. And this is all scientifically proven. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. But I promise it's all been studied and proven in medical journals from scientists and universities around the world. And people are not mindful of what water they're drinking or what is going into that water before you take a sip and you put it into your body. But we care so much about food and other things.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Another thing is because I know you don't take a lot of supplements, but there are people that just can't get enough vitamins through their diet. So they need to take supplements. And if you drink water that has exposure to the sun, the hydrogen bonds, they break. You know, we have H2O. So the H2 breaks. What that does is the water becomes more biocompatible. So it allows you to absorb your supplements way better. Yeah. Yeah. So that there's so much science into water that you can actually adopt in your everyday life without trying that hard. Just drink water during the day. You have a beautiful...
But it makes sense because there's certain vitamins which you're not really supposed to take with each other because they just counteract and don't get absorbed.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. Everything makes sense. You know, when you study it, it doesn't have to be so tricky and complicated. But if there's this one thing, we are 70% water, probably even more, actually. Just take care of what you're putting into your body and you will see the difference. I'm so careful about what water I drink and I've never felt better.
So tell me your water drinking routine. What brand?
You want all my secrets?
You
it's
can't.
My own water.
you have to tell people what is the brand to go for.
It's my own water.
Ah.
Yeah. So it's using nanobubbles that we invented maybe 5 years ago.
I watched that TED Talk.
Did you? Thank you.
I was impressed.
Did you like it?
First of all, to do a TED Talk is pretty impressive as it is anyway, because it's... You know, it's a respected company, and you have a very short period of time to get the message across, but to get it across as well as you can do.
My talk was actually like 20 minutes and they told me to cut it down to 5 minutes. I had so much more to say. So you're right. I had to really get the salient points in quickly. So that was something I invested in about 5 years ago. And I drink the nanobubble water every day. And it's a huge machine. I mean, it's a B2B thing. So it's not something I can just hand out to my friends and sell on Amazon. But we are launching a product that allows your water to be a lot more alkaline. We're launching it soon in September.
And am I right in thinking you were saying that the bubbles don't go away?
Yeah, they don't evaporate. So you know when you drink soda water, sparkling water, or whatever, tonic water, you can obviously see there's fizz, there's effervescence, there's bubbles.
Yeah.
And they evaporate when you open the drink. And our bubbles are so small, so you can fit 30 billion of our nanobubbles into one champagne bubble. So that's how small they are. And they do not evaporate. They stay oxygenated so that oxygen actually gets into your body. It doesn't just evaporate into the air.
I'm trying to process this.
Yeah. They're just really, really small bubbles, so they stay in your body.
But if you're looking at it, is it bubbling?
No, you can't see it.
So it would look like but it's full of bubbles.
And it tastes different. It tastes a little bit lighter and fresher and crisper.
Why is it not everywhere?
I have things to do. I'm busy. I will get around to it.
Because not that I drink it often, but every now and then I do enjoy a nice beer.
Yeah.
And the worst thing about if you get, I usually have like half a pint.
Yeah.
Because I have half a pint, because if you get a full pint of beer, the last quarter is horrible because it goes warm and it goes flat. It loses the fizz. So if you could somehow put that into beer that never stops being fizzy.
Do you want me to do some product development for your personal pain point that you're suffering from? I have so much spare time on my hands.
But that does sound like it's got like crazy potential. What's the limit? What's the drawbacks? Like, I mean, what are the restrictions that's preventing it from blowing up?
We're just in testing phase, to be honest. So it's out in the market for agrotech. So animals are drinking it at the moment in farms. And it's doing really well because the animals are way healthier. They're off antibiotics. They have increased muscle mass. They don't get sick. I mean, it's working wonders. But before we launch something, we have to test it. Mm-hmm. So we're just doing tests with humans now. And then we ask for feedback.
Candidate number one.
I drink it all, but eat it. That's biased. So I will obviously give it 10 out of 10.
If you get a massive boil on your arm, then you know it's probably not working.
So we're doing trials with humans. So we are seeing their oxygen count before and after, oxyhemoglobin before and then after. So when that's done, we will release it. But I will give you some in the meantime.
For the first time ever, I'm now really considering like what water I should be drinking.
We are over 70% water. Yeah. Why are we not considering it? I don't get it. This just baffled me my whole life. I've always cared about water because it's what I probably consume the most, more than food, especially you work out. We have to be mindful of what water we're drinking and just be mindful of what words and actions and thoughts and energy is going into that water. You'd be so surprised. I'm going to send you the...
What's your thoughts on tap water? Big no-no.
Depends on the country.
Which country has the best tap water?
I would say the UK is not bad.
Even in London?
Yeah, the UK is not bad because I think it's filtered 7 times or something by Thames Water.
To be fair, every time I go back home, I love just drinking out the tap.
You see, it's hard water, right? London has hard water, and hard water is minerals. It means it has a lot of minerals. And if you go to Europe, you'll notice the water is a lot softer. Mm-hmm. And if you wash your hair in the water, your hair is softer because it has less minerals. So it's mostly just chlorine and crap. But London's not bad.
Yeah.
Tap water wise.
Actually, I'm curious to know, a lot of women seem to make this complaint when they live in Dubai. Yeah. They say, or they claim that when they wash their hair in the shower, it causes their hair either to fall out or to thin.
To thin, it does.
Why is that?
It's just the makeup of the water.
Because they literally have, if anyone's wondering where Dubai gets its water from, they have desalinization plants literally like across.
You know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with Dubai water. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's desalinated and it's just not much in there. That's all. Like I said, London has hard water, there are a lot of minerals. It's just so clean, the water. It's been desalinated, reverse osmosis, there's just not much in it. So it's not going to be very conducive for washing your hair. That's all.
Well, it's not that there's anything bad
in there. Yeah, it's not that there's anything bad in there. It's just, it's almost just too pure, too empty. That's all. It's too clean. That's all. But there's nothing bad in there.
So people in Dubai are putting these shower head attachments full of the what looks like stones.
Yeah, definitely.
That's adding minerals to the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's better. Definitely get those ones. There's a mix of minerals literally in that attachment. Mm-hmm. You can put it in. I mean, you have great hair, but it's good as a preventative
measure. Not many people say that.
It's good as a preventative measure. And actually, I use stem cells on my hair. I use stem cell shampoo, a stem cell serum, because it has growth factor in there. I'm just planning ahead.
Yeah.
I want to live till 150. So we are launching stem cell based hair care soon as well.
How are you able to do so much?
You know what it is? I have great partners. Mm-hmm. It's not all me. I don't own all of any company. And I don't want to. I love having partners because more minds. And I rather have 10% in 100 companies as opposed to just one huge big company. Yeah. It's too risky as well. Mm-hmm. And I love the innovation you get with different people's brains. I think it's so beautiful. So I'm never greedy with equity, with shares. I want to give equity to other people that are much better at me in their skill set. And I think the company only gets better. So it's not like I'm doing everything.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just coordinating and contributing my part to it. But then you get to be a part of so much more if you are not stingy with your equity.
What would you say your skill set is? Are you the one that comes up with the ideas, or do you have the scientific backing to make sure it works? Like, what is it that you're the best at?
So I have great scientists around the world that I work with. I also co-invent with them because I love science. But what my ultimate skill set is, I would say, is looking at data, inferring that data. So I'll analyze the data, and then I will make an observation based on that data. That is my true skill set. And I literally apply that to everything I do in life.
So you're good with numbers?
Everything. Yeah. But I'll do it to even emotional decisions or non-work related things or what I'm going to eat. I do this. It's just how my brain works.
Okay.
So it's how I like to look at life. So it suits me well. So I can look at something and understand if it's going to work and how it's going to work, what I need to do, what I need to bring in, what kind of science we need to back this up. Do we need to absorb another company to make this technology stronger? This is what my skill set is.
Oh, wait. It's very impressive.
Thank you.
Like, I'm trying to figure out how you know all of this. Like,
I'm just obsessed with science.
Yeah.
Like, I can talk endlessly about science. It's mm-hmm. my passion. So obviously you remember stuff that you're passionate about.
So do you like observe things, and do ideas come to you?
Yeah.
And then you think, if this idea is good enough, then actually I'm going to try and implement this and make something.
You know, science is so creative. It's actually not that nerdy. And when people talk about art and their passion for music and film, my passion and my creativity is my science. It's how I express myself. So I could look at one technology or look at something really basic and have an idea on how to make it more creative and fit into XYZ and help, you know, change the world and contribute to evolution.
Mm. And I think that maybe that rebellious side of you likes the idea of investing in or being a part of something that's disruptive.
I love disruption. I think it's because I don't like being told what to do.
Yeah.
So naturally, you have to think for yourself. But how do you think for yourself? You have to make the right decision. How do you make the right decision? You have to think really hard. And you have to analyze really hard. And you have to disrupt. Otherwise, go do a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
If you don't like disruption, stay in your happy place, in your comfort zone. That is not my comfort zone. And I love disruption. I love to disrupt everything. I told you I'm doing reality TV. Biggest disruption, the decision I've ever made, I think. I'm British Pakistani, so every Pakistani person told me not to do it. And that is why I did it.
Wow.
Yeah. They said, no, what will people say? This is so bad. Oh my God. I said, what is wrong with you all? First of all, no one asked you to be on reality TV for a reason, because you're basic. I actually have something to say. I have something to tell the world. This is my platform to do it. So allow me, because I help women along the way every day in my life. And it's my responsibility to take advantage of any platform I can get to help more women.
Yeah, there's,
Why can't I help?
I was saying before, there's a lack of strong female role models.
Yeah. You know, I don't have one. And I didn't have one growing up, and I really needed one. I was going through a tough time in my childhood. My parents were getting divorced. I didn't understand life. I really needed a role model, and I still don't have one. It's not easy because I'm British, but I'm Pakistani. I'm conservative, but I'm modern. I'm old-fashioned, but I'm not. It's so confusing, and I need someone to talk to about it. Mm. And people my parents' age, they don't get me. I don't get them. You know, about the deep stuff.
Yeah.
So there's very few women that really understand me and can relate to me, but that's okay. Now I can help other women.
Yeah.
At least I can do that. And that is why I did reality TV, because every Pakistani person told me not to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know a huge amount about the Pakistani culture, but I would imagine that women, as their role in the family is to be a good wife, raise kids.
Yeah.
Like, they're not supposed to. Is it similar to Middle Eastern culture?
I would say so, yeah. Yeah, there is a similarity. I think maybe we could even call it Islamic culture. Mm. But Islamic culture is, I mean, it's very understanding towards women, and it promotes women having rights and all the rest of it. But there is an archaic way that I feel people were trying to make me follow that way. And they were trying to put me in that box my whole life.
Yeah.
And I don't think I fit into any box, or maybe I just need to make my own box. And because it didn't suit me. Like I said, I'm modern. I'm super family orientated. I put family first, but I want to have a career. I want to have some sort of independence. I just want to be myself. Mm-hmm. And in my 20s growing up, I was just never allowed to be myself. And I don't mean from my parents. They always pushed me to be myself. It was everyone else.
Yeah, it's the culture.
It was the aunties and the cousins and the cousins, mom's dog's twin, whatever. You know, everyone just had an opinion on me. And I then started to kind of not be myself. And when you are withholding who you truly are, it's torture. Yeah. It's the worst feeling. You know, whatever it is that you are, if you can't show it, be it, feel it, live it, it feels really shit.
Yeah.
And it's only when I turned maybe 29, 30, I just got fed up. I said, this is me. This is who I am. Take it or leave it. But it took time to get there. And I know a lot of Pakistani women are in my position.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because it's tricky. It's not like we want to be wild and crazy. We're super grounded people, and we put family first and all of that. And we love that. But we also just kind of want to be who we truly are, which might be different to how our parents grew up. That's all.
But how do you do that without your parents literally hating you?
No, but my parents always supported and promoted me to be educated, well-traveled, independent, all of that. No pressure to get married. So my parents were always my cheerleaders. Mm. It was the surrounding community. That was what was really hard. Yeah, it wasn't them.
But what would you have done then in a situation where your parents were more, if they were to be more strict?
I would have listened to them.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I would not have gone against my parents.
Then what's the solution then?
They gave me the freedom and the hope to think that it's okay to be your own person. So mm-hmm. all I want to do is pass that on to the next girl, to the next woman who is going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I am rebellious, like I said. So I do go against my parents when I really believe in it. But I know my boundaries. I really trust them because they always taught me about morals and how to have a moral compass. And that is what really gets you through in life, whether you're rebellious or not. But I want to just help other women in my position that have more pressure than me to be someone that they're not, because I remember it. It's such a bad feeling.
Yeah.
You know?
I think there's definitely, there needs to be more people like
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I hope so. And I'm sure there are. And, you know, I want to meet them. I want to interact with them. I want to get to know them. And people reach out to me on social media. And, you know, when you just get that one message from someone saying, thank you for just giving me hope for one more day, it makes it all worth it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just feel like crying because I'm so happy that I did something for someone. And that's what I think we're all here to do,
I think it takes a lot of courage. Like, even for me, just when I started my journey, having a voice on social media, yeah. starting my channels,
yeah.
I just had to develop thick skin and understand that there's going to be people who are going to insult you or criticize you, particularly if you have a strong opinion.
Yes.
And I would imagine if you're a female trying to almost take on that sort of masculine role, you would no doubt get even more criticism.
Ah, but let me stop you there. I don't take on a masculine role.
Okay.
I don't think they get more feminine than me. I don't even know how to be in my masculine energy, by the way. So it's interesting that that's how you interpret it as. Mm. So I don't want to connect with my masculine energy, and I never have. I'm always in my feminine, I feel. And there's no reason why you can't be in your feminine energy and still have an opinion or have a job or have something to say or do what you want to do that day. It doesn't make you masculine, because I strongly believe in the masculine and feminine dynamic. Yeah. I think men have to stay masculine, and I know everyone's going to hate me for saying this, but it works.
Yeah.
Women are here to be women. Our physiology is such. It doesn't mean we need to be locked up in the house and not allowed to do anything or say anything. No, that's not what I mean by being feminine. Women, we build men. I know, because I've done it.
Yeah.
We build men to be the best versions of themselves, the best in business. We emotionally take care of men. We spiritually take care of men. And men, when they're in the protector provider space, they also thrive. They love taking care of women, and women love taking care of men. And I'm all for that. Like I said, I am old fashioned. I am conservative about my views. It's just that I don't want that constriction that my society imposes on me.
Yeah.
That's all. But I'm all about the feminine. I don't understand women that want to be masculine. I've never got it. And it's happening more and more. It's happening more and more. I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, I've tried to date women who are quite masculine, and it ends up, we clash.
Yeah.
It doesn't really work out.
No, because you're quite masculine.
Yeah.
So you would want someone in their feminine. And why shouldn't you deserve that?
Yeah.
I mean, why, if you're being the man, why can't you be with a woman? Why does this woman have to be this independent? I don't need you. I'm not dependent on anyone. Don't open my car door. I mean, I don't understand. How is this enjoyable? I don't get it. This just sounds like a lot of work.
I've noticed it's very dependent upon the upbringing and what society you're in. It's one of the reasons why I like Dubai, is because there's such a mixture of cultures and people from different countries. I've learned quite a lot. Okay. When I was in the UK, obviously you're just exposed to British women.
Yeah. But, just British.
Yeah. And there's pros and cons to that. I won't get into it.
But then
when I did a bit of traveling, being based here, you meet a lot of women from different backgrounds, and it's interesting. I've learned a lot.
So what have you learned about women? Like, what's the pinnacle lesson?
I think there's just, don't try and force something to work.
Yeah.
If, you know, it's just taking up so much of your energy, it's stressing you out. Yeah. Because I do believe that even if you could have some crazy chemistry with someone, but they're just not the right person for you. Like, what they want out of a relationship is not what I would want out of a relationship. Because there's some women who are naturally quite needy, very emotional. Mm-hmm. They want the emotions back. They want to be with their boyfriend all day, every day. They want to do everything together.
Love language.
The book.
Oh, I don't know, but love languages, right?
There's a book called The Five Love Languages.
I can see it on your book.
Someone recommended it to me. I was like, well, I'll give it a read.
Was it an ex-girlfriend?
Yes.
What is your love language?
I'm 10 pages in.
Yeah, it's like words of affirmation, acts of service. My love language is gifts and attention.
Okay.
I love attention. I need my space, obviously, but I love attention. And I love gifts because I think it's because I'm Pakistani. I think Pakistani women just love gifts.
Okay.
Just makes you feel so special and so beautiful.
If you were with a guy who was ticking all the boxes, but he never gave you any gifts, would you feel unloved?
No, but I would just discuss it with him.
It's like, come on.
I know. I wouldn't say like that.
Where's my new phone case?
Made in China. My new phone case / handbag, yeah. No, I would just discuss it with him.
Okay.
I wouldn't reprimand him for it. I would just discuss it, that this is something that makes me happy. I've never been in that situation, to be honest, because I date really manly men. Mm. So they love to spoil women in that way. And I love to spoil men in the feminine way. Like, I really take care of them. I really invest in them. I do things for them. I, you know, make their life easy so that they can be better and stronger. And I support them and they support me back.
Okay.
You know,
I'm curious to know, because you are quite clearly very successful. You're doing very well financially. When it comes to dating men, I would imagine that you would only date men who are on your level or above.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but I would imagine there's not many of them, though, or there's far less of them.
There are loads of them. What do you mean?
Oh, so there is a lot.
They're everywhere. No, but that's how you are. And I relate everything back to science. Scientifically speaking, this is what works.
Okay.
It doesn't work the other way around, because women need someone better than them, smarter than them, fitter than them, bigger than them, more inspiring than them, more successful than them. Otherwise, where's the attraction?
That's true.
I'm asking. Maybe some women don't mind, but I mind. I need to be inspired by the guy. Otherwise, I'll eat them for breakfast. I mean, I'll finish them off in 24 hours. I just, you know, I also need someone to handle me. And only an alpha or a double alpha can do that.
Yeah.
So it's really just about science and, well, that's physiology, why man and woman. And
I preach to every guy, like, you just need to level up every day. Just focus on yourself, getting better, earning more, building your business, focusing on your health, your fitness, your wellness, your appearance.
Yeah, because then you'll get a better quality woman.
Yeah.
And it's okay if you don't. Some men are fine with that. But if you want a better partner, then you have to invest in that. And the same goes for women, by the way. And I don't think you should ever, a woman should never ask a man to provide more than he can provide. Mm-hmm. That's wrong. A woman should always live within the man's means. And if the man has the means, great. If he doesn't, don't ask for it. Yeah. And if you want more, work together to build it up.
Would you say that men, particularly men in their late teens and early 20s, have a really hard time? Because dating, because they're at a point where, in terms of their intelligence, life experience, how much money they have, they're at the bottom, probably at the lowest point they'll ever be at.
Okay,
and women at that age are almost at their, you know, not, I wouldn't say peak, cause that doesn't sound good, but they're young and they're looking for guys who are almost 10 years older than them.
But then that's why women tend to date men older, because they're aligned. And men, that 21-year-old man will probably date someone who's 17, 18. Or a 25-year-old would date someone 21. And you can look at it two ways. You can either see, oh, this is so hard. I haven't made enough money yet. I'm not manly enough. Or you can see it as inspiration to go to work and get your life together. And you can do it with that woman if she is willing to work on it with you. And that's actually a beautiful thing about getting into a serious relationship with when you're young. You can build with that person.
Yeah.
I never did that. So now you just expect the most and you expect the best of the best and the top. I'm 34. This is what I expect. But if I had fallen in love when I was younger, I would have built my life with that man and supported him and got him there. Yeah.
Real quick, guys, I just want to share with you something which I spent the end of 2023 putting together for you. You see, in life, if you are unhappy with something, you need to change it. That is one of the core philosophies that has driven me, my businesses, and my fitness over the past 10 years. In recent years, I've been asked frequently how I've managed to go from being an average personal trainer, working all day, every day in a gym in the north of England, to the position that I am in today. That is why I decided to create the Digital Playbook. This is a step-by-step blueprint for anybody who finds themselves in the same position that I did years ago, wondering to myself, how can I make money online? Can I really make a full-time income from creating content about the things that I actually like? How can I travel the world, work from my laptop, and at the same time still afford to live a great lifestyle? It's essentially a playbook on how I built multi-million pound businesses off the back of creating content online. If you want to check it out, head over to thedigitalplaybook.net and you can book in a call with my team to find out more. Let's get back to the episode. So did you, when you were on this journey, were you in relationships then?
Yeah, my first boyfriend was at the age of 24, so really late, because I was just too busy reading about science. And no, I've had a few relationships, but nothing.
Because I was going to, before I've spoken to you now, yeah, it makes sense, but yeah, before I was like, how do you even, with everything that you've got going on, how do you have time to put aside for your partner, your relationship? Yeah. But then you said,
I work three days a week.
You only work 3 days a week now, and you have like...
I have loads of time. Yeah. I work Monday to Wednesday. That's it. I'm super strict about it. And if need be, I'll work a 20-hour day on that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But Thursday morning, my weekend starts. It works for me. My productivity is up. My team is happier. I'm happier. And this is what works for me. Mm-hmm. It might not work for other people, but I'm much better off. The companies are better off Monday to Wednesday.
But this is a situation which you have earned.
Yeah. Oh, it took time.
Like at the early days, you can't, to grow a business,
yeah,
which is almost in its infancy. You can't be like, oh yeah, we're going to have 4 days off.
No. Listen, back in the day, I was working 20-hour days, 7 days a week. I would forget to eat. I would forget to shower. I was so focused on my goal. I missed my best friend's weddings. I missed everything because you got to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. When you want something and you get something, something has got to give. It's like a scale.
Yeah.
Right? You can never get it all. So it's really up to you how much you want to sacrifice.
Yeah.
And I'm all for this work smart, not hard thing, but you have to work smart and you have to work hard. I think that meme you see everywhere, it gives the wrong impression.
Mm.
I think it teaches young people that they don't need to work that much. And, you know, you see online, find a side hustle, whatever. This is not real life. This is not. Yes, work smart, work efficiently, but you have to work your ass off before you can get to that level. And I think I need to say this more because even my sister, she's 11 years younger to me. So she's 23. And before she started working, she was under this impression that life was so easy and career building is easy because you work smart, not hard. And I said, Sarah, do you even know what that means? Because you've just come out of university. Life is hard. Life is tough. And now she's feeling it. She is putting the hours in. Now she gets it, but she could have not, and then really not been able to build up her career by watching these Instagram videos telling you to work 1 hour a day and make loads of cash. No, this is not real life. This is not what should be floating around social media.
I think what I've learned is you go through phases in your life, and there are phases where you just have to be realistic, where if you are starting something new or something needs to grow, it's going to need a lot of your time and attention. Mm. So it may take months or maybe a year or even years where it's like,
yeah, mine took years,
concentrated, hardcore work.
Yeah.
But then after that, you reap the rewards, and then you can have this phase where you can sit back a little bit and then, you know, enjoy life
and start your weekend on a Thursday.
Yeah. And when you are in that situation where it's like you've put the hard work in, you now are financially able to actually go off and do better things.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
But it depends what you want.
Mm.
A lot of people will not sacrifice those years. And if you're not willing to do that, don't even try. Don't do it. Stay in your 9-to-5 and don't complain.
Yeah.
Right? People love to complain and it really pisses me off. They say, oh, but this person's got this, or, oh, but your hair is like this. No, it takes work. It takes time. Put the time in or do not complain. It really stresses me out. And I snap at people all the time because they're lazy. And if you want to be lazy, accept it about yourself, but don't complain to the people that are investing and sacrificing every day into their fitness, their body, their health, their wealth, their relationship, whatever. Let them be. Leave us alone and don't complain, because people love to do that.
Do you ever get... What's the negative criticism that goes your way?
I mean, how long have you got?
What's the most common?
The most common... the most common I get is, oh, but you're pretty, why do you work? Yeah. That's the most common. Yeah.
And what do you say to them?
And they look at me so confused. But why do you work? I just, oh God, I can't.
They'll
never
understand.
Sit here and explain. Yeah. I'm just better off banging my head against a brick wall. I mean, it's so funny. Actually, now I just laugh. I just laugh it off.
Mm. Would you call yourself an entrepreneur?
You know, I hate that word.
Why?
I hate that word, entrepreneur.
Because it's overused.
Because everyone calls themselves an entrepreneur.
Yeah, that's why I never. I don't call
Everyone's
myself
an entrepreneur.
That.
Do you know what entrepreneur means? It means sacrifice. It means hard work. It means taking risk. It means remortgaging your house because of something you believe in. And it means you changed the world. You've changed how a business functions. You've changed one aspect of the world. Not, oh, I set up a crypto account. Now I'm an entrepreneur. Everyone calls themselves an entrepreneur.
Yeah,
I can't stand that word. And no, you're not an entrepreneur. By the way, you just opened a crypto wallet.
Yeah,
that's it.
Do you think the lifestyle which you have created for yourself, maybe there's quite a lot of women that would aspire to have it, but how would they know if it's something they're really cut out for?
Yeah. Well, trying always works.
Mm-hmm.
See how far you can push yourself. And also, I had the opportunity to have a great lifestyle and work for my family. And I couldn't do it because I knew I wouldn't do well in it. Mm-hmm. I didn't like construction. So if there's something that you really love, just do that. And I guarantee you will make shitloads of money. But it has to be something that you really love.
Yeah.
I've spoken to you, I've had random scientific facts in my brain for the past hour. And this is nothing, right? Because I love it.
Yeah.
So I will absorb it and I will live it. So if there's something that you're really good at and you really love, do it nonstop and you'll make shitloads of money.
It was like me with the gym.
Exactly.
But I didn't even know you could. I went to the gym because I just liked going to the gym.
Yeah.
The first 3 years, I did not take one picture, no video.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I was not doing it for social media. I was doing it for myself because I enjoyed it.
We need to see a before and after.
Well, I had this like one of the picture of me at 10 years old, but there was no, there was nothing. I was like, how did I not? Because I think there was, obviously there was digital cameras and stuff, but it never even crossed my mind that
of course,
taking a picture in a gym was like something you do.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Now it's
like
now it's
you
weird
have
if
to
you
do
don't.
It.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like the doors that opened for me and the opportunities that I've had and the career I've able to build for myself was just purely from pursuing my passion.
Yeah. Because if you had to do what I would do, you would fail. If I had to go to the gym, I'd fail.
Yeah. So I think you have to realistically look at yourself and assess your strengths and your weaknesses because almost everybody is good at something.
Yeah.
So
of course they are.
Figure out what it is and go.
Of course they are. You know how you can tell? When you have spare time, what do you do?
Yeah.
When I have spare time, I read science books. Like that's my bedtime reading and that was me since I was a kid. Whatever you do when you have a spare minute, what is it? Do more of that. And it can be something as shallow as meeting people.
Yeah.
Or talking to your family. You can make a business out of anything these days. Okay. The world is your oyster. So even if it's something frivolous that you enjoy doing in your spare time, it doesn't have to be anything deep or technical. Just make a business out of it. Build an online community and make a business out of it.
I've got a friend of mine who just loves to party. Obsessed with partying.
Yep. Perfect.
And I realized, okay, this isn't going away. Like you're probably partying harder than ever before.
Oh my God.
So go do something which is going to earn you money in the party field.
Yeah.
Start running your own night. Yeah. Do events.
Yeah.
Do something because you're going to be enjoying yourself because you'll be at a party. But then it'll be your party. You'll be making loads of money because you've charged for people to come to your party.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. And is he doing it now?
No.
Oh, my God. I need to have a word with him.
I know. It's I don't know, but some people just don't. I don't know. I try as best as I can.
Yeah.
But some people, like I said before, maybe they're just not cut out for it.
Yeah. They either don't want it or they think they can't do it.
Yeah.
It's their limiting belief.
Yeah.
And I've never had that limiting belief. Because I've never seen it around me. You know, sometimes people say, they say that your limiting belief is what you grew up watching.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, my parents got divorced. So for a long time, I was so scared of marriage because I thought it would end badly. That was my limiting belief because it's all I knew growing up. But when I was growing up, I saw people with successful businesses. So it was never a limiting belief for me. I just assumed that would be me because I got to see it.
Mm.
So to change your limiting belief in your adult life, it takes work, it takes time, and you know, it's a lot. It's not easy to do. Now, when people come to me wanting to buy my product or service, I ask them, why should I sell it to you? That's how confident I am in myself as a business person. But marriage, for example, took me years to feel it's a safe concept. It was really hard.
Yeah. I think that's, people all ask me, what do you think the key to your success has been, when they were asking me?
Yeah.
And one of the points I would say is self-belief.
Right.
Like I've, as far back as I can think, I've always had this belief and vision that I would be something.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
And I don't know where that's come from. I don't know if it's something you're born with. I don't know if it's something that you can create out of thin air. But I just knew that whatever it was that I was going to focus on, I could make it work.
I think even if you're not born with it, you can create it. Mm-hmm. If you want. Did you grow up around successful people? Yeah. So then the desire has come out of something else.
Yeah.
It's not because it's something you relate to, because it wasn't relatable. So it's come out of something else that you have seen or a yearn that you have. And it could even be, by the way, passed down from your DNA. You never know. It's epigenetics. So all kinds of personality traits can come from some random uncle that you had. You never know. But the point is that it was there and you acted upon it.
Maybe I was just drinking some amazing water.
You will be now, soon, when I send you some. I know where you live now.
What do you think as a female or a female in the Middle East or Pakistan, what would their biggest limiting self-belief be?
Oh, that's such a good question. Not good enough. I'm not good enough. That is the common theme I've seen in a lot of my female friends. And I don't know why it's there. And it's a big shame.
Yeah.
I have come across amazing, intelligent, beautiful women, and they think they're not good enough to take a leap of faith in their business or be with an amazing man. And I don't get it. You know, I don't understand the psychology behind it, but I know that it's very prevalent and I think it's getting worse, perhaps because of social media.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's making our society and image a little bit more vulgar. And I think it's making women less confident. And it's a shame. I'm seeing it more and more. They think that they don't deserve XYZ. They don't think they deserve an amazing partner, or they don't deserve to be successful.
Or maybe they
think that is a common theme
because they don't look a certain way. Because I think what I notice sometimes when I was, if I'd been doing collaboration videos with a female, they're very conscious about the way they look.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, there's some guys, of course, some guys who are like fiddling with the hair in the mirror.
Yeah, but can you imagine how hard it is, Mike? Growing up in this generation, luckily I grew up when there was no Instagram. I think I would be messed up in the head if I grew up in these Instagram years. I don't know what I would think about myself. I probably have body dysmorphia. We had none of that growing up. I'm the same age as you. But now, oh my God, I think I would have so many issues if I had to grow up with Instagram filters and this, that. Luckily, I escaped that. But can you imagine how harrowing it is for women, especially in places like this where there is so much opulence and there is a lot of beautiful women? It would drive me mad.
Yeah.
Thank God I'm old. Truly, I wouldn't be able to hack it. And by the way, being on reality TV is the most humbling experience ever, because when you watch yourself on playback,
you see yourself from angles you've never seen before.
That's what I look like. That's what you all see. Oh my God, I'm so ugly, but what can you do about it? All right, whatever. We move on. I don't care, but can you imagine what it's like for other women who are slightly younger than us?
Mm.
And the same goes for men, by the way, because with wealth.
Yeah.
There's so much on Instagram, men with their cars and their watches. I can't imagine the pressure that men feel to have money. It must drive them crazy. Yeah.
But I guess the problem is that men can sort their shit out and actually earn some money.
Yeah.
Like women, there's a limit to how much they can change their appearance.
Yes, true.
Which is the issue.
True.
I guess I'm trying to put myself in a woman's shoes. Yeah. Like, what would I do?
Yeah.
I probably just wouldn't care about Instagram. But I mean, I guess it depends what I was doing.
How can you say I don't care how I look? Like, the whole beauty industry
I wouldn't care about, I would probably not bother with Instagram.
So you would just
I really don't
be
know.
Antisocial. Just not leave the house.
It's pretty. It's,
no one
it's,
look at me.
It's rare. There's some people, like when women say, oh, I don't have Instagram, I'm like, wow. Like that
yeah,
is,
that's cool. That's really cool. Yeah. I wish I was that cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, this is the problem, as we were saying before, it can be so beneficial to build your personal brand.
True. I'm trying to think. When it comes to women, okay, a lot of men don't want that woman. A lot of men don't want that tall, slim, BBL woman with the perfect nose and the perfect extensions. Like, a lot of men just want real women.
Mm.
And that woman is just a fantasy.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, a girl on Instagram. She must be fake. She must be a bitch. She must be a gold digger. Don't get me started on the gold digger thing. Mm. And a lot of men don't want that woman because they don't see value.
Yeah.
They might see looks,
temporary,
but that's it.
Temporary enjoyment, but they would not marry someone like that.
Exactly. Or even date. I mean, I know a lot of my guy friends that think these Instagram women are trash.
Yeah.
And they want a quality woman who is high pedigree, well-educated, family-orientated, and maybe looks, you know, average. And they are happy. And the woman is happy. It's just that we're talking about one niche of men and women here. That's all. So I think, you know, women are not doomed. Just yeah, don't go for those types of men. You know what men I mean.
I'm trying to think of the solution. Do you think that women...
Let's make an app.
do you think that women are into self-help as much as men are?
What kind of self-help?
I don't know, like listening to podcasts or reading books. I don't...
No.
Why?
No, we're into grooming, self-help about our eyebrows, our hair... spray tan, this kind of stuff. But this is what we love. This is what we enjoy. We want to look good. It makes us feel good before anyone else sees us. It makes us look good.
But I feel like if they did invest a bit more time into self-help, learning more about something, it would help them to progress further with their career, or maybe it would help build their confidence.
But hasn't that already started with this whole independent woman thing? And now women feel that they don't, you know, need to be feminine, which is fine, and they don't need to be there for a man, and they are fine alone. And actually, what is that doing to society?
It's making them think, oh, it's not my fault, it's your fault.
Yeah. That's the kind of self-help I see women do, by the way. Yeah. And it's no one my age, it's always people younger than me in their 20s. So I haven't seen any other kind of self. But we're not going to read a self-help book on DIY or, you know, we don't care. That's what you guys have to do.
I think the confidence one would be good.
Yeah.
Like to just, because I think there's a lot of women out there that are very intelligent, but they're just, they don't want to be that voice, or they don't want to start that YouTube channel.
Okay. So when it comes to confidence, I have a lot of women reach out to me when I do public speaking or whatever, saying, oh, you really made me feel confident today. And I thought, why? What did I do? I was just talking rubbish about my science, my business or whatever. It's because I gave them hope. Mm-hmm. For that one day, I gave them hope. And hope breeds confidence. I need hope. I need hope in different ways. We live on hope. We're all in the pursuit of something in life. And to pursue it, we need hope. Mm-hmm. So maybe women, this is a really good question. Maybe women need to focus more on getting hope and who to get that hope from, as opposed to confidence and self. We're not going to read self-help books.
Yeah.
We don't have time. It's just... I'm not even going to listen to the audiobook.
Yeah.
You know, but hope, it carries a lot of weight for women.
I guess they should probably, like men as well, be careful of who they're choosing to follow.
Oh, yeah. You know, people say, oh, social media is so bad. Social media makes you crazy. And I don't understand. When I see like a hot woman's body on social media, I think, oh shit, I need to go to the gym. Oh, one day if she can do it, I can do it. Or I mean, I follow gardening tips and cooking tips and science stuff. And I learn so much on social media. I love social media.
Yeah.
But I do not follow those people that are going to make me feel shit about myself.
Yeah.
I'm not going to torture myself. Mm-hmm. But I understand the allure to do it. And it's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Just unfollow.
Well, even with... the conversation I had with Sadia after that, I think I unfollowed about 30 women because it was...
Did you? Well done.
Yeah, these were women that were... There was a lot of nakedness.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I was...
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that, but I'd be scrolling.
Yeah.
And if it's basically like softcore porn. Yeah. And if you're filling your brain with that
of course.
All the time, it's not... healthy.
What's your type?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
I think as, if I look back the past few years, there's not a specific type.
Okay.
It's more so somebody who is like has a good heart, yep, pure, kind, intelligent, yep, has a sense of humor.
Yeah. So the and perfect woman, basically, is your type.
Yeah. 99% of the time they're brunette.
Yeah. So no, by the way, I hear a lot of men say this, that they prefer brunettes to blonde. And growing up, I thought it was the opposite, but maybe public figures and whatever and Kardashians has changed.
It's not something like I don't go, oh,
yeah,
brunette, so yes.
Yeah,
it just
yeah.
happens. And I'm like, oh, there's a trend here.
Okay. I love setting people up, by the way.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have a think. Okay. I've never been successful at setting anyone up, but I love to do it. So give me a chance.
Has it worked ever?
No one's like got married from a setup, but they've, you know, hung out.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'm not intending to get married anytime soon.
Okay, so I'll find someone for you to hang out with.
Mm. Would you get married?
Of course.
Yeah.
I will get married.
But have you like planned out when you...
No.
If it happens, it happens.
I made a change because my type used to be like toxic, narcissistic.
Why has this happened all the time?
No, but I've changed, I promise.
But at what point did you go, okay, enough is enough?
I think around 30, 31.
What is the allure of that?
I don't know. I need someone to psychoanalyze me. I've no idea. Maybe the danger.
Man.
The danger.
Maybe I should become a toxic narcissistic man. Maybe that will, maybe. I already am.
Maybe.
I think I am.
I've changed now.
So I was wondering, this is a random question that might help the male listeners.
Yeah.
Biggest turnoffs in men for you?
Oh, okay. Laziness. Mm-hmm. Because it's not what... It's so off-putting because we're looking for protection. And if someone's lazy, like you get the ick.
Yeah.
It's so unattractive for me. What else? Hygiene.
Mm.
Hygiene is so important for me. I don't know about other women, but you can tell immediately if a man is just clean or not. And why do I care about it? Besides the obvious reasons, I think it's about how a man respects himself. If he's clean and well-shaven or, you know, everything is in place, it really, really matters to me because it's how he perceives himself to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're dirty, then what does that tell me about you?
Maybe some women like a rugged...
But you can be... No, of course you can be rugged, but you can still be clean.
Yeah.
You know, there's planned rugged where this is a mess or this is a mess. It looks great, but not dirty.
What would you say the biggest turnoffs or biggest mistakes men make on a first date?
On a first date.
Very quickly, guys, I just want to ask you a quick question. Are you taking supplements? And if you are, do you have any idea if you're taking the right supplements in the right amounts? You see, the more that I discovered about the importance of micronutrient supplementation and the adverse health effects of micronutrient deficiencies, I would constantly ask myself the same thing. I would go into supplement stores, load up on bottles of micronutrients and pop pills daily without really knowing if they were doing me any good or not. That's when I decided to try out Bionic. Since 2021, I've been getting my blood work done with them every 3 to 4 months. And once the blood test has been analyzed, they would put together a customized micronutrient formula tailored specifically for me. And this would last me for 3 to 4 months until I got my blood work done again. And since then, I've honestly never looked back. If you are also serious about performing at your best, preventing development of diseases and maximizing your overall health and well-being, I highly recommend you give it a try. And they've recently introduced Bionic Go, which is a fraction of the price, where all you need to do is just fill in a questionnaire online without the need of a blood test. If you want to find out more or give them a try, head over to bionic.com, and you can use my exclusive referral code BQMikeThurston for a discount on your first order. Let's get back to the episode.
On biggest mistakes men make on a first date, I would say being too keen.
Well, like it's constantly...
Being too much, like too overbearing, too enthusiastic, too into me. I love the chase.
Okay.
That's my problem.
That's good.
I know, I need to be psychoanalyzed. So yeah, just being too much. It's not attractive. It's not cool. It's not exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when men are just so into you. It's not attractive for me.
Do you find that with how you present yourself and what you do, mm-hmm. men find you intimidating? Have you ever noticed that?
No.
No,
actually, I haven't, thankfully. I think it's because I love to be feminine. So I think they see more of that as opposed to anything that might intimidate them, that I am, you know, mentally strong or I built businesses or whatever. I don't really, that's not my identity. So it's not something that I bang on about and I talk about so much where that becomes me.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I don't think men feel intimidated by me. I've never felt that, actually.
Although I probably imagine that you're mingling and associating with a lot of successful guys, so...
But still, maybe. Successful men get intimidated.
Mm.
I've seen it. I've lived it. When I was dating someone and I was doing this and I was doing that and he was 50 times richer than me, he couldn't handle it. It wasn't about the money.
Interesting.
It's never about the money. It's why are you there and why do you know these people? And I was at dinner with my ex once, and I had just had a day with Boris Johnson when he was prime minister, and we were out and talking to these people and whatever.
As you do.
And I was showing him photos, and he was like, why would Boris Johnson hang out with you? I was like, fuck you. He doesn't want to hang out with you, dude. But they can't handle it, and I don't know why. So initially, no, I've never felt that men are intimidated by me because I love to be girly and I love to be playful, but it comes up sometimes.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why. I'm not trying to be them. I'm not trying to be a man. I have no interest. I'm a chiller. I just want to chill. I want to do a bit of work and chill. But when you mention something notable, it's usually about your status. I've noticed that they get intimidated and I don't know why.
If you associate or you're with someone who is higher status than them?
Yeah, they can't handle it. They can't handle it. Even if they're nothing.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but what? One meeting or one interaction, why does that matter?
Yeah.
What's the big deal? They're nobody to me. It's just a meeting.
Yeah, I think men are, they like the idea of having, they want to be the one with the most status.
I get it. They want to feel the best and they want to be propped up and they want to be the man and they want to be the king. But do I just not leave the house then?
I've been very chilled with my relationships. Like I would.
Yeah. You seem chilled.
They have the complete freedom to do whatever they want. They have the freedom.
Yes.
And then I just observe the behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So if they're behaving in a certain, like, say, for example, you know, they can do whatever they want, but then they're going out a lot and they're partying.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, if you want to do it, that's fine.
Yeah.
But this probably isn't going to work out. Like, why do you want to go out?
I get that.
Why do you want
that.
To party all the time?
Yeah.
I know what happens at clubs.
Yeah. I get that.
So, and I
that's understandable.
I tend to find that if you do give that person the freedom, they respect you more. And it shows that you're pretty comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, and it shows that you're secure.
Yeah.
With yourself.
Yeah.
But as you touched upon earlier, there's love and there's compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
And they're two very separate things. And it's great if you can be in love, but if you're not compatible with that person, it's not going to work. It'll become toxic, you'll be back and forth, break up, make up, you ruin your life. You need compatibility.
But I was wondering this as well. Do you think you can be too chilled though, where it gives off the impression that you actually don't care?
Of course. That's just, it depends on your personality. I've been accused of that sometimes. But it's just, that's where communication comes through.
Mm-hmm.
Just talk about it. You know, you need this, she needs this, whatever. If you love them, you'll do it.
Yeah.
If you don't love them, you'll think it's a hassle.
We mentioned earlier about this new venture, which you have
yes
coming up. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. It's a health and wellness brand. And I'm very, very excited about it. We have a celebrity on board that I can see in about a month. And he's really cool. He's a great business person. He has disrupted the music industry heavily. And we got together with Sara and we created a health and wellness brand. And what it is that everything I do is usually derived from a pain point that I'm pissed off about. So I was getting pissed off because I feel the best products out there are very expensive. And I thought, why should only the 1% be able to afford this? Everyone deserves the right to health equity in their life. So why is it so expensive? It wasn't making sense to me. I know that Nivea cream and Crème de la Mer have 99% the same ingredients. Why is this happening? I don't like this delta because to me, it's fraud. Mm-hmm. I don't accept that. So we have created a product range backed by deep science, very disruptive, that is cost effective. I can't wait to launch it. So we will have my water in there. Yeah.
Was it like it's a full package?
It's a product range. So okay. You can just pick and choose what you want. And it's called Fix, F-I-C-K-S. So you can fix your sleep, fix your water, fix your drink, fix your dark circles, fix your laundry. We have a solution for everything. And everything is backed by deep tested science. So you know that it really works.
No way. When's that
going
to be ready?
No frauding going on. August. We're launching in August. Yeah. Yeah, we just want to be ready by end of summer for the September rush. That's what we're aiming to catch. So I'm very excited. And in there, we will have obviously the water. But you know, going to the gym, not that I know what that's like, but going to the gym requires really good quality sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's why I have this.
Oh, yeah, I noticed. We have one product in there called Fix Your Sleep, but I won't try to, you know, sell everything that I'm doing to you. So I want to ask, what is your sleep routine? And how do you think the sleep affects your performance at the gym? There's a reason
sleep
that I'm asking.
Sleep is everything.
It's everything, right?
Yeah. Like I've said this before. If this tells me obviously there's some error every now and then. Mm-hmm. Like it's a work in progress. Yeah. But this is basically trying to analyze your sleep based off your heart rate.
Okay.
I'd imagine it's pretty accurate.
Okay.
So let's say, for example, if I have 6 hours of actual sleep, I get by.
Okay.
If I have more than seven, I feel good. If I have more than eight, holy shit, I'm like superhuman.
Okay.
But unfortunately, it's really hard for me to get more than eight.
Okay. When you say I've had 6 hours of actual sleep, what do you mean?
So this is a combination of light sleep, deep sleep, REM sleep.
Okay. So how much light sleep, REM sleep do you get?
The REM sleep most of the time is between 1 and 2 hours.
Okay. And deep sleep?
Similar. Usually a bit less.
Okay.
But you know what was very, very interesting? So I used to wake up in the night like really hot and like stressed out.
Really?
And I was like, what the hell is going on? Like it kept happening, even though my room is freezing. And then I realized like, I think my duvet is too thick.
Okay.
Because I am a walking radiator.
Yeah.
Probably because of the muscle mass.
Because of my muscle mass.
I give off so much heat.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how cold my room is. If I'm putting this massive thick duvet,
it gets so hot. Yeah.
I'm trapping all of this heat. So I was getting so hot, I would wake up like stressed out and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you take the duvet off, you're freezing.
Yeah.
But then you want it on, it's too hot.
Yeah.
So I went to the mattress store and I bought this, it's like this new technology, which is actually a thin, cooling duvet.
Yeah, I've heard of
it. So it allows the heat through the material and out into the room.
Great.
The moment I started sleeping with that on, my deep and REM sleep increased. And I didn't wake up in the night.
I need to buy one of these because I have the same problem. I don't have the muscle mass, but I have the same problem.
Mm.
And I need to buy this. So it's good that you're getting like 1 hour of deep sleep a night. Because a lot of people have this watch, this contraption. And when I ask them, they say, oh yeah, I got 6 hours. Oh yeah, I got 8 hours of sleep. And the conversation ends. I'm like, what do you do with that data? Why do you wear this thing if you don't even know what you're talking about?
Yeah.
It irritates me because if you're going to do something, then actually learn about it so you can make your life better.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why did you buy it? Because your friend told you to.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why. And all you really need is deep sleep. And all you need at our age is 45 minutes. And if you get that 45 minutes, you will be in your optimum state the next day. I'll tell you why. You know, you have your brain. Hopefully we have a brain. And you have blood around your brain. And the thing in between, the membrane, is called your brain-blood barrier. So when you have deep sleep, there's a fluid from your spine. It comes up, it goes past the blood-brain barrier, it goes into your brain, it takes out all the toxins from that day and takes it out. So that's when you wake up feeling really fresh.
Yeah.
And the days you wake up feeling groggy is when you don't get deep sleep. So that thing never happened. And all the toxins are still in your brain.
Yeah.
And you can't
function. It's like a hangover. Like,
yes,
it's awful.
You feel hungover.
You can't even
you can't function
or make decisions.
I have brain fog.
Yeah.
Literally. So all you need is to focus on that 45 minutes of deep sleep. That will make you optimum the next day.
But it would be a little bit different for an athlete though.
Yeah. So if an athlete, you're like 1-2 hours max. Yeah. You do not need more than 2 hours of deep sleep a night.
But surely REM is important as well.
It is, but much less important than deep. Much less important. You need about 50% light sleep, 30-35% REM sleep, and the rest deep sleep.
What's your pre-bed routine then? Are you getting that? Or you have no idea?
I don't. I can tell. If I feel crap in the morning, I can tell.
But you're a good sleeper.
Yeah, I love to sleep. I can sleep anywhere. I can sleep right now.
Yeah, see, that's a skill. My dad has that. Like,
I can
he will.
Anytime.
He will just literally, he'll put his head on the pillow and just start snoring. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you?
It's such a gift. I have no issues, thank God, sleeping. I've fallen asleep in cinemas. I've fallen asleep in a club. I had a nap in a club. I said, just give me a few minutes. I was so tired. I can sleep anywhere. I love sleep.
Yeah, but can you teach that? I don't think you can teach that.
I don't think so. But actually, when I have problems sleeping, if I'm thinking, what I do is I listen to theta wavelengths. I just pull up YouTube, I search theta, and it puts me to sleep really nicely.
Theta wavelength.
Theta wavelength. It's a sound. Theta is between 4 to 8 hertz.
Can you give us a little preview?
No, it sounds like.
So it's like a,
and it's really quiet. Like that. It's like it's a very soothing.
Gray noise, like background noise.
Kind of, a bit sweeter than that.
Okay.
So you have alpha, beta, theta, delta. You have different wavelengths and they all activate different parts of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So your neurons are your brain cells, mm-hmm. basically. And theta targets your brain cells and really relaxes them, puts them into this optimum state to manifest and to have a deep, deep sleep. So if I really struggle, I just put YouTube on.
Do you meditate?
No, that is my meditation. I don't meditate. I tried for years to meditate because everyone was saying meditation changes your life. Meditation is the best. So I felt this pressure. Like I was the only one not meditating.
Yeah.
It was almost looked down upon if you don't meditate. So I said, okay. And I tried and I tried. I just can't do it. I can't do it. I can't shut off my brain. I can't think about whatever the hell you're meant to think about. I've even tried a meditation course in India. I could not do it. So now my meditation is when I'm going to sleep, I just think for a bit. I just calm my mind and I might put on some YouTube theta waves or not. And I just think and I relax and I get into this state and everything feels good. Everything feels clear and I fall asleep.
And the phone is nowhere to be seen?
No, it's on airplane mode.
Okay.
And I always put it face down so that I don't see any light coming out of my phone /toy.
Is the room blacked out as well? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I can't sleep with light.
So apart from the optimizing the water intake, what other biohacks would you advise that would have like the biggest changes, positive impacts on your body?
You know, biohacking is very in vogue right now and I fully support it. But before you go into all of that biohacking stuff and you spend money, I would really concentrate on biohacking your brain, your mental state. I would say just start with that. And usually if you just figure out yourself and your brain and you really truly realize who you are, everything else is fine. Because the brain is the body and vice versa. And if there's something wrong here, it's usually because there's something going on here.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say before embarking on biohacking, just try to make sure mentally you're good. That's what I would recommend. And then if there's something you need to fix, go for it. Go for biohacking, get your bloods done, go take your supplements, fix your sleep, fix your skin, whatever. I mean, biohacking is everything. When you have a buildup of hormones, it comes out in acne in your skin. If you're not having an intimate relationship with your partner, a woman can get spots. I mean, it's everything is linked, right? So try to just fix your mental state before the biohacking step. That's all.
I guess that makes sense.
You might save a lot of time.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing the negative side effects of being stressed out.
Yeah.
Like if you're in a permanent state of stress,
yeah,
you get spots. Like your hair will probably start falling out.
It's hormones. But okay, to you, what is stress? What is actual stress?
Well, there's the physical stress in the gym.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That is short-lived.
Yeah.
It's just very intense for a short period of time.
Yeah.
And then I think mentally, it's a good question.
Like what there really was, is stress?
Yeah, there was, I mean, when I was in my earlier 20s, I was stressed that I didn't have money. And then the moment I was like, okay, I'm good for money.
Yep.
That's like a massive stress.
Yeah.
Gone.
So I get
sorting
stressed.
Out your finances.
Yeah. I get stressed, obviously. Mm-hmm. But then I ask myself, what really is stress?
Yeah.
So when you were young and you didn't have money, you were stressed because you didn't have money. Why are you stressed that you don't have money? Because then you can't buy things. It's a fear.
Mm-hmm.
Stress is usually a fear of something. So if you can address what you're fearful of, because fear is one of the most disturbing emotions for a human. It can really affect you and change you and can ruin you. If you can figure out the fear and try to figure that out, then you can eliminate the stress. Yeah. I get stressed all the time. And I figure out, okay, Sabs, what are you scared of? What are you scared of happening? What is it that you can't do? Why are you scared? And then I get there.
Mm-hmm.
But stress obviously impacts the brain and the body probably the most. More than your diet and what water you're drinking, stress is a killer. Stress causes more cancer than smoking.
It's interesting. I had an interesting conversation with this guy and I was basically saying like, oh, I don't want to be as stressed.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, with what you're doing and what you want to achieve, stress is going to come your way. You just have to learn to handle it.
Yeah.
Like some of the most successful people in the world who are running these huge businesses, corporations, or sports people with so much pressure on them to perform, that stress is not going to go away.
No.
They learn to handle it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't actually stress them because they've learned to manage it.
And maybe they just park it somewhere.
Yeah. They're
like, okay, this is happening. Let's get on with it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I analyze it a bit differently because it suits me, but maybe they just accept that it's there and they get on with their basketball game or their board meeting or whatever they have going on. Maybe when you have so much stress, you're better at handling stress because it's more familiar to you. I don't know. But for me, something that really helped me is reading this book by Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, I think. And what it taught me is that the past doesn't exist. I read this book years ago and it helped me de-stress so much because when the past doesn't exist, you just don't care about it. Just almost as if it never happened.
Because whatever you do will just be in the past.
It's done.
Yeah.
So why stress over it? But I think I took it too far. So now I forget the good and the bad in my past. It just never existed to me and it helps me detach from my past experiences so much that I don't get traumatized or triggered and PTSD and I just let it go. It feels so nice, Mike. It just never happened almost. And I noticed over the years, even on my phone, you know, normal people, they check their photo gallery of memory. I just don't. I don't check my memories.
Yeah.
I never want to know or remember what happened in the past, but even the good. And sometimes it's quite healthy not to be attached to the past can be quite nice. It's quite liberating. So that definitely helped me de-stress about the past. But then the future is obviously separate.
You know what's quite interesting as well? Okay. When you might be stressed or have this fear of like the worst case scenario.
Yeah, but I do that, yeah.
Sometimes the worst case scenario isn't even that bad.
That bad, yeah.
It's like bad things happen
or
the thing that you were fearing the most actually happens and then you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's not that bad.
Not a big deal.
And then even if it is, it's like, okay, well, you've sunk to the bottom. Yeah. Now the only way is up.
Yeah, but again, it's fear.
Yeah.
You're just fearing the worst and you spiral out of control. We all do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the flip side, does that make us do better, work harder, mitigate the risk? Maybe.
Mm.
Maybe it fuels us. Maybe sometimes stress is a bit healthy. I don't know. I think it's a double-sided coin.
What characteristics do you have that you would like to change about yourself?
I think I would love to be more patient. I think I lack patience at work. In my personal life and with my family, I'm super patient. But, you know, when I'm working, I'm a bit manic. And I can be a bit of a menace because I'm trying to multitask and I'm trying to do things. And I expect people to be with me mentally all the time. And I understand that everyone's different. And I think that is my weakness in the workplace. I need to be more patient and more understanding and less judgmental of people that are not operating like me, because they could actually be operating better.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand because it's different to me. And I've noticed as I'm getting older, my fuse is getting shorter when it comes to patience. And I would really like to change that. I expect everyone to just think like me, be like me, but that's not why we're all here. Mm-hmm. That's not what life is about. And actually, instead of judging it, I should maybe learn from how other people are doing things. It's like sometimes I need things my way or I don't understand.
Yeah.
I think I need to change that.
That's interesting.
I need to do better at that.
I think there's a few things I would want to change about myself. I think one of them is I want to have more focus.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I know I'm capable of doing a lot of good work.
Yes.
But I am bombarded with distraction. And I just need, I think I probably even know the answers, but I always find myself jumping from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And then I look at what I've done with my day and I've done like bits of work, but I actually haven't accomplished or ticked off any of those tasks.
Okay. Do you feel that's a hiring thing or it's a you thing? Do you feel you could hire?
I think both.
Better to handle different tasks? Both.
I think I'm hiring someone at the end of this month who is going to take a lot of unnecessary work away from me. Mm-hmm. And then I think one of the things is probably just the discipline of putting the phone away, which is annoying because sometimes you need the phone to do the work and to message people.
I know.
But everything is pulling you in. Even if it's, I need to go on Instagram to post something or message someone.
Just don't read that DM.
It gets me.
Just don't open the DM.
Yeah.
Because then another workflow comes through and I know, I get it. You know, when it comes to, there's one method of working for people that struggle to focus where you split up the time frames into like 13 minutes, 13 minutes. I think it's called the butterfly method or something. I'll research it. And it just helps you do more productive bouts of work where you get more breaks, by the way, to check your DMs.
Have you ever micro-dosed mushrooms?
No.
Do you think that's a
thing? Never tried any form of drugs. Mm-hmm. I'm too scared. But yes, it's a thing. Scientifically speaking, yes, I promote it. It's a thing. It works. It works.
Because I know in America, there's a big...
Everyone in Silicon Valley, it's microdosing of shroom.
It was on Joe Rogan. He was saying that 70% of the advertising on TV is pharmaceutical advertising.
Yeah.
So all these companies are just promoting drugs to people.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
This is life. Don't mess with big pharma.
Yeah.
Trust me, I nearly did it.
Really? Yeah. What happened?
Can't talk about it. Nope. I've signed something. I can't talk about it, but do not mess with Big Pharma. They will come to get you. They have, the judges are in all their pockets. You cannot mess with them. Just if they approach you, do what they say. Mm-hmm. Sell them what they want.
What if one of your companies really takes off and becomes a threat to Big Pharma? What would you do?
Of course, that's what happened to me. Not that it was on such a big scale, but it was just a small technology that could have taken out a lot of sales from Big Pharma. And my advice is, if that happens to you, it is also a good position to be in. If you can't beat them, join them. Just work with them.
Really?
Find a way to work with them. Don't shut the door on them because they can make your technology redundant.
But what if that goes against your values, like your ethical values?
Okay. Walking out the house goes against your ethical values these days. Everything gives you cancer these days. I mean, just, you know,
but you
don't breathe. It goes against ethics.
You seem like you care, though. About the planet.
I really care about ethics. I have a strong moral compass, but business is business. Mm. Okay. Don't do fraud. Don't rob people. Don't do these things. But sometimes you have to work with the bad guys to do something good. Do you get it?
Yeah.
If I work with bad guys on one technology, I can get that good thing out to so many more people. What is the other option? It's a binary option. The other option is they make my technology disappear.
Yeah.
And no one gets it.
Okay.
So they're my only options. There's no gray area. It's just binary with Big Pharma. So just do what they say.
I'll bear that in mind. Yeah, if I ever come up with something, it's going to be a threat.
Call me. Yes.
Awesome. I'll leave it there because I know you've got a dinner to go to. Yes. Where can people find you?
On Instagram.
Yeah.
I haven't started building up my TikTok yet. On Instagram. Yeah, just message me.
I think that's the next big thing for you.
TikTok.
Not necessarily TikTok. I think YouTube is powerful. Don't underestimate the power of YouTube.
I didn't think about YouTube. I need to learn from you.
They will sit there and they will listen.
I need to learn from you. And you have a lot
of value to add.
Of content. Thank you. I just don't stop talking. But
you just need the right team.
Yeah. You know what? I had a dream last night during my REM sleep that I gave up my career and I became a full-time TikToker. And I just did dance trends every day. Clearly, that's what I want to actually do with my life. Maybe one day.
You could just do it for just have a little fun page.
I do. So I started
you could satisfy that urge you have.
I have a strong urge, but I told you I started posting my dance videos. Mm-hmm. And I'm the happiest when I dance. I just love it so much. And I will post more dance videos. Honestly, my motivation to post my dance videos is because it pisses off Pakistanis so much. And someone called me, she's like, what are you doing? Why are you posting these videos? I said, just wait, I'm going to post more. And put the phone down.
But don't they have a dance?
They don't post their dance on social media. They probably can't dance.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely post every day.
I'm going to become a TikToker.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed that.
It was such a pleasure. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you guys. Thank you very much for listening.